Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
We got somebody dispelling a major rumor in the world of football. We will get into all of that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever you are making us a part of your Tuesday morning, we appreciate you doing so as we take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. Guys, the rumor season in the world of college football is off and running. At what point is Bob Stoops going to get a call while you're on the set of Big Noon Kickoff, Brady Quinn, to try and come back? When's that going to happen?
It's a great question, and that's one of the things I love about having Coach Stoops is it keeps people interested in our show. Because every time one of these jobs comes open, like, you know, LSU, for example, is going to come open at the end of the year. You got some interest, right, in them. So it keeps it relevant. You know, our competitor cannot say that. Only thing they could say is, you know, maybe if there's, you know, someone looking to put a big mascot helmet on their head.
Oh,
maybe
that's, wow.
Yeah,
oh,
just saying.
Wow.
Shots fired.
Wow.
Shots
unbelievable
fired.
From Brady Quinn.
Do it, Brady. Do it.
Now,
do it. Now,
Jimbo.
Now, who are we taking at three? Lee Corso or
right.
Brady Quinn?
Well, I mean, come on. EAS. Same answer as before. EAS.
But in a fight, I got to go with
Shannon,
the crafty age.
I think Shannon Sharp's EAS was a little different than mine.
Yeah. So. Well, listen, I mean, you got any
– his was a little bit more raw. His was Blue Magic EAS. Yours was something other.
Blue Magic. You imagine that? That's like, you know, you need special access to get to that part of the EAS page to get
yeah,
the Blue Magic.
Yeah.
All right. So the reason we talk about these coaching openings in the world of college football is that several seem to be popping up. You got guys that are on the hot seat, things that are taking place. Ed Orgeron is out at LSU. You know, a lot of rumors out there that we discussed yesterday on the show when it comes to Ed O and just sort of what was going on there in Baton Rouge. Jimbo Fisher of Texas A&M, he was asked about the potential of an LSU spot for him, if that would be something he would be interested in, and he gave a classic answer yesterday to the media.
I'm going to say this right now, it's in October right now. I love being here. This is the job I wanted. I'm being here. I got a great contract. I have an unbelievable chancellor, have an unbelievable president, unbelievable AD, that we're building something. We're recruiting great players. I really believe we're on the process of building something great. I plan on being here and fulfilling this contract and doing everything. My family has roots here. I got ranches here. I hunt here. I love everything about this place. There's nothing going on there. There's nothing happening there. And I don't be disrespectful to anybody else. I coached there. It was a great place. We won national championships. It is one of the best, you know, best places in America. It's a wonderful place. I love being an A&M, and I plan on being an A&M here and fulfilling my whole contract. I love everything about this place. And let me tell you something else. And the way this place has embraced me and my family, and including our foundation, the things that are going on with our foundation, the way the people have embraced it, the way people have done everything here in College Station. I love everything about the people here, the administration here, and everybody in charge here and the people who run this organization. And I love it here.
That's how it's done right there, folks. That's how it's done.
Round of applause.
That's how it's done.
Round of applause.
Let me tell you something. That's how you get a raise, folks. Right there. That is how it's done. Damn right.
Well, it's actually not. How you actually get a raise is you leave
like
some speculation out there.
Yeah.
You know, you actually make it seem like you've coached there before. You may leave to go there. It is within your SEC West division. So that's actually how you get a raise. You got to threaten people like, hey, if you like what I'm doing so far, just knocked off the number one team in the country this year. Yeah, I could make that a more regular thing, but I could do it for someone else. That's how you get a raise.
I'm going to push back on you on this one. I think you also Oh, this can is get from, a raise out of this.
Personal, this is coming from a personal place, by the way.
Well, I mean, it's possible, but
this is directly related to James Franklin, is it not?
You know, to kill people with kindness and to let them know how much you buy into it and how much you believe in it. I think that ultimately puts a lot of pressure on the university as well, because if you're having that level of success and you've made it known to the public that you want to be there, then now you've really put all of the pressure on the school. And in a different manner of saying, well, I'm going to entertain it and I'm going to look at it. You know, who knows what the future holds. But if you say, listen, I hunt here, I love it here, I do all these things here, I've put roots down here, you have appealed to the common man who is a fan. And that could put a lot of pressure on the university. It'd be like, what are you doing? How are you going to let him go? Give him the money. Like, let's go.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's just possible. Like a player. You know, as a player gets closer to free agency, where could they make the most money? On the free agent market
You know? Listen, but Brady, you know, he's representing the common man. You know, that's my approach to the show. I'm representing the common man here. You know,
it might be personal with James Franklin and people, you know, sniffing around there.
See, LeVar does feel a little bit on edge when it comes to James Franklin.
Oh, you can't even
be very protective.
Hey, LeVar, there's an opening at LSU coming up. James Franklin,
don't like it. Man, I just hate that he's the first name that everybody wants to throw up. Like, everybody's sitting there talking about, oh, Jimbo Fisher, he says all that because he knows they want James Franklin. You know, all these people at USC, they throw a name out. But, you know, it's like James Franklin. Like, leave him alone.
Is LSU an upgrade over Penn State? Is LSU an upgrade over Penn State?
Can I just put this out there? Can I just put this out there? Like, and maybe it's to a much smaller degree because I'm like, I'm still dealing with some petty mess from the school I used to coach at, right? So it's so crazy, the things that like, people that like, I don't know. Anyway, so here's the thing, right? What Jimbo Fisher said about having a close relationship with the chancellor and being close with the school and understanding, you know, how they do things and the support that they give, those things are invaluable in some situations. I'd rather take less money in a situation where I know that the leadership is what it's supposed to be versus take a ton of money and the leadership is poor. Poor quality leadership leads to you looking for a job sooner than later.
Well, that
strong leadership is longevity.
Hitting on someone at a gas station, right? That helps. Too.
There's that too. You know.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, pregnant women who may be.
But we're talking about Jimbo. We're not talking about Ogeron. So.
Okay. Right, but I don't think Jimbo did hit on anyone at a gas station, so that might help.
I don't believe he did either. Yeah. But I don't know that to be certain.
Can I get you a bag of Roll Golds? Get you anything for inside?
Here's what I'll say, in regards to James Franklin or Jimbo Fisher or Bob Stoops, right? Like, I work with Coach Stoops. First off, if he was to go leave to take on that opportunity, no different than Urban Meyer, I'd say, okay, yeah, that's awesome. Like, if you want to go back into it, you feel like you still want to get into it, go. Like, you want that for people because there is something special. LeVar, you know this. Like, there's something special about coaching. There's something special about being involved in the game to that degree. Like, I get that. And if you can leverage it to make more money too, by the way, more power to you. But like that's where you exercise your leverage and your opportunity as a businessman to say, I have this opportunity. I'm contemplating it, you know, to make things harder if you gave me a better offer because I'd love to stay here. But, like, it's kind of hard to turn down that offer because of how much more they're willing to pay me and what that opportunity is. Now, at some point, like a network, for example, might say, well, this is the most we're willing to give you. And then you just got to make a decision. But like when you're a coach and you're in one situation looking at another, like, yeah, you don't get many opportunities to leverage that when you're desired and wanted because we can see how quickly it'll turn. I mean, Ed Orgeron, case in point, the dude won a national championship less than 2 years ago, arguably had one of the greatest seasons ever. And like, by the way, I see all these people talking about how, oh, it was a toxic culture and all this stuff. Really? So with all the people who sat out and who were injured and weren't playing for LSU this past week, yet they still go and beat the crap out of Florida? Like, what do you attribute that to then? Like, they didn't know the rumors about their head coach and they didn't want to play for their head coach? Like, that's the other thing is, like, I understand there's some misconduct off the field.
It's a smear job.
It is, because yes. This had everything to do with the athletic director saying, I want my own guy. This isn't my own guy. I don't like the direction of where this program's going right now. He's not my guy. I'm going to find a rap sheet of things I can put against him and go find my guy. Okay, great. But let's not act like this past weekend wasn't an example of that team could have laid down. They could have gotten their butts kicked by Florida. They didn't. It was the exact opposite.
Joe Burrow at the Heisman ceremony cried his eyes out talking about Ed Orgeron and what he meant to him and just what the impact he had on his career. So I also don't buy into this idea that he's just walking around, you know, hitting on everything. Now, is he active off the field, Ed Orgeron?
I'm sure he
pictures
is.
And stories would say yes. But you know what? He's not married anymore, and that's not really our business. So if
and
he
that
wants
dude's
to,
full of testosterone.
Yes.
You know? A lot of testosterone.
I mean, what do you want him to do? I mean, he's got, you know, he's the king of Baton Rouge. I mean, he just won a national title there.
Rhinoceros, a lot of testosterone.
And listen, there's some of that as well, too, going on. The human gas pump, if you will. Now, LeVar, I would ask you this. If you had to sell James Franklin on why he should stay at Penn State as opposed to going to LSU, what would you say to James Franklin right now if you had to talk to him? What would you say to him, LeVar? Like, if there's something you had to say?
I mean, I've had conversations with him.
Come on, LeVar.
And you know, you just got to understand this, man, that there are very few special
Come
places
on, LeVar.
That exists, you know, as it applies to college atmospheres. And that's Pennsylvania. And you know, for what it's
Come
worth,
on, LeVar.
He should understand that just as good as anybody else because that's where he's from. He's a PA guy. His background is PA. His roots are from the Hill District of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He played at, I believe, East Stroudsburg College. Like,
yeah.
His roots are in Pennsylvania. He is a Pennsylvania.
Come on,
and the greatest school to
Grab
ever
a rolling
do
rock,
football.
LeVar.
And,
Let's
and
do it.
Amazing.
The greatest school
yes,
to ever do
yes.
football. He's just throwing it in.
In Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, you know. Yeah. Is yeah. Penn State. I mean, listen, Pitt had their heyday with majors back
in
the day.
I need more from you, LeVar. This
come
is
on,
not
LeVar.
Selling me.
LeVar,
like,
come
show
on.
Me the money.
Come on, LeVar.
Show me the money,
got
LeVar.
The Penn State fight song in the background,
hurt,
LeVar.
Hey, I will say this to you guys. He wanted to get approved the rights to be or the plans to build. You guys are so you're throwing me off. It is so funny
because
I feel so much pressure. Because look,
on,
while you guys are joking,
he's gonna hear this. Look, this is the pitch.
Look,
right
while
now.
You guys
hey, LeVar,
are,
let me tell you something.
While,
if I had to sell somebody on Chuck E. Cheese, I'd do a better job than this right now. Come on, LeVar, let's go.
While you guys are joking, this is a for real thing going on right
we
now.
Know.
This,
we
this
know.
This is real to me.
We are.
You
so
can
I'm
change the course
here,
of history,
like,
LeVar.
Mind, this, yeah, right. Anyways, I did help get – I was a vocal voice in the team in the school getting approved the budget to expand on the weight room and the okay. the facility. You know,
I'm so down for that.
I have, been, I have been helping assist in the build-out of what we're going on in terms of support and verbal acknowledgement of what needs to happen. So Frank needs support, though. They got to yeah. support him. There has to be more support from the boosters. There has to be more support in terms of us being able to finance, keeping up with majorly endowed and supported teams. So, I mean, that would be the biggest reason. If James Franklin were to leave, there are things behind the scenes that would be the reason why he would leave. And I just happen to
sure,
be
sure,
aware
sure.
of hey, some of those things.
All right. We're moving on from Penn State. We got to move on from – tell me this.
Yes.
Is which is a better job between LSU and USC? Because those are the two top jobs right now that are on the market.
You know, I don't know if it was you that made the point or if it was someone else that made the point.
It was probably me.
And maybe I didn't even put you in the equation. It might have been somebody else outside of the show. But I would probably today say LSU would be the better job. And just because
Agreed.
It's in the SEC and just the draw and the allure of what you could do recruiting-wise at LSU. USC used to be considered the main deal, the main job, the best gig to get. But that was before all of these other teams settled in here. You know, you got the Rams here, you got the Chargers here, and they're playing well. So there's a, you know, they're not the only show in town. They're not the only, you know, they're not the celebrities anymore. They're not the pro team anymore.
I did say that. By the way, I've said that to a number of people, and it's like, because we were having this conversation with Petros, and he kind of pushed back a little bit. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, I understand we want to act like Southern Cal is a sleeping giant, but it's not going to be what it was with Matt and Reggie. Like, that was a very unique period in time.
I agree.
Where the Lakers were dealing with the kind of Kobe stuff. The Dodgers were down. You didn't have two professional sports teams. It was an entirely different circumstance than what you're presented with now in L.A. It's a lot of a competition. It's a tough market to get people in the stands anyway. And I also wonder this. Like, how much has college football and football in general – taking a hit on the West Coast, not just in L.A., but anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, anywhere. Like, how much has it taken a hit over the past two decades where, you know, there were concerns at one point about CTE. Now we've got people who are getting concussed in a game and coming right back the next week. I'm not sure what the hell happened there. But there's plenty of examples of it. But I do think there was a hit where you're not seeing quite as many kids as involved or a part of the sport as it once was. But that's for another conversation another day. But, Laura, I'm with you. I think LSU is a better job if you want to win right away.
I mean, and I think we can all agree here on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe that if, you know, if you're going to acquire one of these big-time head coaches, it's going to cost a lot of money, like $1 million at least. And speaking of $1 million, do you want to look like $1 million but only spend a handful of bucks? Yeah. Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor. Brady, how many blades is that?
Sounded like you said 6.
Damn right I did. LeVar Arrington, how many blades is that?
6.
Roberto, for our people, how many blades is that?
6.
Damn right it is. It is a 6-blade razor from Dollar Shave Club for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave with Dollar Shave Club stores. Yeah, that's Dollar Shave Club in-store, so go to the store and find them. Welcome to the club. All right, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, we may have identified the one team who might actually quit on their head coach. They might actually walk out on their head coach based
really
on these comments. We'll get to that next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So we were talking about the Penn State coaching situation, guys. You know, James Franklin. You know, there's a lot of people that are interested in James Franklin. LeVar Arrington's terrified.
He's not terrified.
He's not terrified.
He's not terrified.
He feels like it.
He loves his coach, man.
We're a great institution. I have a very, very personal connection to James Franklin, and I have a very, very vested interest in him. Listen, we had some very – people may not recall how dark it was for us, but it was a dark time for us at our school.
It's not good.
And you know what? Like, Bill O'Brien beat cheeks up out of there. Like, I didn't know this was going on. I don't want to be here. I'm up out of here. Rolled out. We were left for dead. People don't realize that. Penn State football was left for dead. And it's so interesting. We get a guy who probably under any other circumstances would not have even had an opportunity to become the head coach of a blue blood football school like Penn State. He gets the opportunity because nobody else was really going to want to touch it. He takes the job, and not only does he bring a level of excitement that was sorely lacking, but he brought a belief. And you know, to be honest, why would you, like, for me, now he can say, I did what I needed to do. I helped this team and I helped this community the best I could. And now it's time for me to move on. And you know what? I wouldn't be mad at him. I would not be mad at him. I would be thoroughly, thoroughly concerned. I would be scared to death about what our future holds, because you got to take into consideration when he left Vanderbilt, all his recruits, all his guys, they love him so much, they went with him. They went with him. So you got to think, it's not just the losing of a coach. If he wants to move on to something that he feels is a challenge in his life, that's certainly within his rights to do so. I would never be upset with that. But in terms of what the collateral damage would be to our school and what we, you know, what we have going on momentum-wise, people talk about, oh, Franklin can't coach very well. Franklin is this, Franklin is that. You can say what you want to say. One thing I know Franklin is someone who gets guys motivated, gets them to want to come to the school. And if we were to lose that, who do you bring in that can replace that presence? And that's a major concern for me because I see the implications of if Franklin leaves, that could deteriorate, rapidly deteriorate our program. And so people are looking at where we should be. We should be challenging for a national title.
Yeah.
But they're not looking at it from the perspective of what's the alternative?
Yeah.
Like well, the alternative really could be you'll still get a really good coach because of all the things you just said. You know, like you'll still get a – like I personally believe Luke Fickell would be a great pick, right? Head coach of Cincinnati right now who's number two in the country, if I'm not mistaken, in the AP poll. So he's been able to guide that program, build that program after Brian Kelly left. And I think he could – easily take over
and,
that.
And I would also feel a lot better about the next coach coming in than I would Franklin at the time, just based on the fact that he's going to be leaving them with such a better program than when he got here. So, you know, if he can just maintain, or a guy like Fickell can just maintain that. So, you know, LeVar, listen, look, there is life, you know, after James Franklin, and it's not all that bad if he does decide to leave. You know,
well, I just want to make sure. I appreciate you, like, taking this sarcastic approach making me feel better
about if our
coach is going to leave. But, hey, listen, everything that change is inevitable, and you have to be prepared for it, and you have to be able to handle it. I do not have a problem if he decides to go. He is as legit as they say he is. I think he's a great recruiter, and I feel like if we could get over the hump of beating Ohio State, we can take that next step in getting recruits and developing the players and possibly being in the playoff, you know, consistently. But if that weren't to happen, I mean, I don't know what's next. Like the Luke Fickell talk and all that, that's great and all that. But I just have a personal, you know, connection to this. And I've gone through a lot. I've experienced a lot because I just love my school. With all of my heart, and so it's just one of those things where it would be an emotional moment. It would be an emotional moment, but you know that time has to continue to march on. The show continues on.
Speaking of head coaches, and we talked about Penn State, number 7 in the country, number 1 in our hearts. The Penn State Nittany Lions are hosting Illinois this upcoming weekend at Beaver Stadium. Yeah. And unfortunately, there might not be anybody on the field for Illinois. Based on the comments from their head coach, Brett Bielema, who spoke to the media yesterday, and I'm all for brutal honesty, but get a whiff of this.
The roster is going to have to change to get to where we want to be to win a championship. So I recognize that probably midway through the spring last year, through the summer, just certain positions haven't maybe played out the way they envisioned them to. In particular, the offensive line, I don't believe we have a player in the two deep that they've recruited here over the last 3 years that is really significantly doing anything for us in the playing department. And that's a major concern.
Let me tell you what this is. let me tell you what this is. All right, because there's examples of players when they're not playing, utilizing the platform that is social media to be able to put pressure on coaches, a la Anthony Richardson, who had something to say, the quarterback, backup quarterback there at Florida. And by the way, I think he should be the guy starting, mind you. But that's for another subject. But he's using his social media platform to put pressure on Dan Mullen, like, hey, if you don't play me here, I got one free pass in the transfer portal to go somewhere else and showcase my talents. And whether you think that's right, wrong, or indifferent, doesn't matter, because that's what's out there. Here's what coaches are doing, though. Did you guys see how Michigan State was able to turn things around so quickly after being a 2-win team just a year ago? Now they're a top 10 team and undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got 30-some players, maybe 40, I think, when you factor in the incoming freshman class and the transfer portal. They have literally overturned their roster for the most part. You know, guys like Kenneth Walker, Peyton Thorne was still there. Jalen Naylor's still there. But they overturned a large portion of their roster. And I think Brett Bielema got there, identified that, and has gotten to a point now where he's like, well, let's just be honest with ourselves. This roster isn't where it needs to be. These aren't my guys that I recruited, et cetera. So what am I going to do? I'm going to try to get some scholarships. Like, I'm going to make a public statement and let these kids know and basically say to them, look, if you don't want to be here anymore, go. Because I'm going to recruit guys to replace you. I'm going to pull guys in from a transfer portal who are up to my standard that I think I have. So this is Brett Bielema utilizing, I think, the same blueprint that Mel Tucker has done at Michigan State. And he's not going to be the last, because I think this is going to be replicated with schools like Illinois, for example, that are going to have a hard time competing. I think they're going to do it more and more and more. So I know this comes off as jarring as a player. They're probably upset. But he's already telling you, you're not going to be competing with some of the guys that I'm trying to bring in to replace you.
I'll say this. I think it's a misstep in the sense that he could have did that behind closed doors
sure.
with them. More to me, more manly would be to do it in person with them instead of airing it out on.
But you also don't know that he hasn't.
Yeah, but he may have, but there's no way he should have did it in my assessment of it, because I look at it from this perspective. It's as true as those things may be, I'm still not going to approach the responsibility and the duty of being that leader, that authoritative figure in those young men's lives, and approach it in a way where it's belittling, it's you know, kind of it's demeaning. I don't subscribe to that, just from the philosophy of I'm still in the business of guiding men to being the best men that they can possibly be.
Right, but look, no one's going to argue the fact that these kids are going to be upset or argue the fact, like, was that the best
kids.
Way of doing it?
And I won't even say they're kids. They're young adults. Like, it's fine. The truth serum is fine. You don't even have to give a chaser with it. I'm just saying, was that something for the media? If I'm the coach, I can say we are going to improve this school. I can say we are going to do better in the recruiting process. That to me says you're acknowledging the fact that this team is not up to standard. It's not up to snuff. I mean, you can go back to the days of when they had, you know, Simeon Rice and Dana Howard, and they were winning Buckus Awards back-to-back seasons. Their defense was like the top-rated defense in the country. Illinois, the Fighting Illini, had a serious reputation in terms of what they were able to bring to the table as a competitor. So you can put out there that you want to take this program back to the glory days or create new ones of what's to come without selling out your players the way that he did in that moment.
I find it hard to believe that he would just come and drop that bomb to the media without at least having some conversation with those guys.
Oh, he's for sure.
Right?
If you know Brett Bielema a little bit, you know he is as upfront and blunt as it gets. And oh, by the way, who do they got this week, Jonas? Do you happen to know who they
it's
have
Penn
on their
State. Listen,
oh,
it's
okay. Right. It's Penn State. They go to Penn State. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
To that point, guys, if he's talking about you like that, you know the beauty of sports. You know the beauty of our game of football. Y'all can look each other in the faces and be like, "This guy doesn't like us. He hates us. He wants us to go. He wants to get rid of us." You know what you can do? You can look at each other and say, "Let's go out with a bang, fellas.
Yeah,
let's knuckle up. Let's gut up. Let's go. Well, let's get a good week of practice in. Let's go get some wins.
Here's what I'd say for where we're at with college football and the athletics in general. It's more of a pro model. Let's just call it what it is. It is a pro model now, because I think some coaches, especially when they take over a job, they feel kind of handicapped. Like, they can't turn over a roster as fast as you can in the NFL, where you can move on from a lot of contracts and you can make some decisions and you can transform that in a year or two's time. You know, until they change the rule with the transfer portal, where now you've got one free pass and you look at these scholarships and they're like contracts now. Now I think coaches are like, well, I don't want to wait 3 years to turn this thing around. I might not have 3 years anymore. So I've got to do things, or I've got to figure out ways of trying to get, you know, turnover new guys to come in. So, LeVar, to your point, if they have the ability between their next recruiting class and the transfer portal to be able to bring in all these scholarship players, and there's only so many you can bring in a class, but what they do is they have the kids enroll like a day into the semester, and that's kind of how they get around with extending that class to have like a bigger class than what you used to be allowed to have. But what they can do is if you think about this, like these players are playing for someone else. These Illinois players are probably playing and putting tape on the field for their next quote-unquote team or employer, if you want to look at it that way. No different than a free agent, right? Like, no different than Jimmy Garoppolo. He should be back playing, you know, when the 49ers are coming back. He should be back as a starting quarterback. Is he the long-term answer at quarterback? No, because they drafted Trey Lance. We know the writing's on the wall. These kids are in a very similar situation where, like, their head coach is already writing them off. Yeah, you got two options. You can either quit or go to transfer now, or you can try to play this thing out as best you can, put as best tape best tape out there as you can, and give yourself a shot at a transfer portal unless you want to hang around and see if you could change his mind, which seems kind of unlikely.
And also, Bielema did point out in one of the other comments that he made was, you know, a lot of these people were welcomed back because of the COVID stuff. Like, there wasn't an opportunity to just move on. So it was like, okay, yeah, you know, come on back. You know, we'll do this. And it feels like now he's just kind of letting everybody know. Yes, yeah, so that's over with. So now we're going to move forward and actually get together the team that I want.
And don't forget that every single class, so freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, was awarded a free year of eligibility. And this is one example of how that's going to impact teams down the road, where if you got a new head coach coming in, as much as he'd like to reward them with a scholarship, that wasn't on his plate. That wasn't on his plate. So every one of those classes now has an additional year of eligibility. And he's like, yeah, that ain't going to work for me. Like, I need to turn this thing over quick.
That being said, hammer Penn State minus 23.5. Hammer Penn State minus 23.
Easy
money there, LeVar.
Hey, is Clifford back? LeVar, is Clifford back?
I don't know.
Listen, they could have Clifford the big now red. They could have Clifford the big red dog, and I don't care. Hammer Penn State.
It's a big difference.
Yeah,
Penn State's a top four team right now. If Clifford finishes the Iowa game,
yeah. Well, listen, you know, and
ruined my day.
Yeah,
it did. I witnessed that. I witnessed grumpy LeVar. But you know what saved his spirits? You know what saved his spirits? That PJ, baby.
Yeah, right.
That private plane.
Yeah.
That G5.
That wasn't bad, brother.
And you know, sometimes you just got to take a trip to Long Island, if you know what I mean there, LeVar. Wow. Sometimes you got to take a trip.
I mean, double fist it up, bro.
Wash it
down with a cerveza, you know what I mean?
Two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up next, there was a troll job in the NFL by one head coach. We'll get to it here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour here on Fox Sports Radio, there are two quarterbacks in the NFL, two quarterbacks in their prime, and they have got something in common. We will get into that here top of next hour on FSR. Just for people that maybe weren't with us yesterday, you know, we do a little segment called the Prop Bet Monster here on Fox Sports Radio, where I'll come up with my own prop bets, and I'll, you know, during the primetime games, the standalone Thursdays and Monday games, I'll throw them at LeVar and Brady and kind of get their thoughts. These are goofy, most of them are grab ass, you know, things like that, stuff that's probably not going to happen, but it's fun to just, you know, BS around a little bit in the morning. I threw out a question yesterday on the Prop Bet Monster, and I want you to hear how it it sounded on the air.
Oh, here we go.
And then maybe somebody
will
have to
throw us under the bus.
Maybe somebody will have
He's
to
throwing
answer.
Us under the bus.
Somebody will have to answer for his behavior yesterday on the show.
Here we go.
This was yesterday morning. You guys remember the Music City Miracle was between the Titans and the Bills. So my question for you is, do they show a highlight of the Music City Miracle? Yes or no?
No.
No. No.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you think they're just going to dismiss history?
This is an awful question. This is why it usually comes down to one of these.
Right. So then when people are watching and they show that highlight, I want you to remember Brady Quinn kicking me in the nuts and saying it was an awful question.
Well, that's right.
We're not close enough to the playoffs.
So let me ask you this.
I jump kicked you right in the groin.
All right. Yeah. So are you proud of yourself, Brady? Anything you want to say? You want to apologize now or later?
That's a great soundbite. You know what, though? What a D-bag you are. What a D-bag you are for going back and finding the sound to play this out. I mean, who would do something like that?
By the way.
Who would do something like that to peacock around
I agree.
Here?
You know, I learned from
who
the best.
Who would do such a thing?
Jonas Knox.
Yeah, Brady,
what a turd.
Yeah, Brady Quinn, Mr. goes behind our backs.
I changed my middle daughter's diaper yesterday. Yeah. She had a big old turd in there. Remind me of Jonas.
He goes behind our backs, LeVar.
There you are, then, Jonas, right there in the diaper.
There you are. There you are, looking like a
you're right
up.
There.
You know, big smush pack of Tootsie Rolls all together.
Let me ask you.
You are, Jonas.
By the way, Tootsie Roll.
How you doing?
Hey, Tootsie Roll, underrated candy. Just want to say that for Halloween coming up around the corner.
Daryl Green was a big Tootsie Roll eater. He said it made him run faster.
And he kept it in his sock, right?
He kept it in his sock. That's a true story. I was totally mortified when I saw the highlight come on. When it came on, you saw what I texted. It wasn't even appropriate for radio.
Yeah,
I was
not
like,
appropriate.
You know, it was just so many explicitives used when explaining the fact that I'm looking at the Music City Miracle take place right now.
Can I ask you guys this?
I should have known ESPN was going to go that direction.
Can I ask you guys this?
God, they're so lame.
That was a troll job by Mike Vrabel to call that play on the punt return when you know it's the Bills and Titans playing. Playing each other to call that throwback pass on the punt return. That was a troll job, right?
Sure. Yeah, but he's Mike Vrabel. Well, if you know who he is, you know he has that type of sense of humor for certain.
The Bills trolled them right back with the 2-point conversion to Josh Allen.
Yes. True.
That was a play the Titans had.
That was.
And, you know, just want to point out, Brady Quinn did win last night. He had,
I could tell.
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't care because I was so mad about how that game ended. I mean, I had the under, which I honestly thought it was going to be a blowout. Like, based on how this past week went, and I know I talked to you guys about, it was like 8 of the 13 games before we got into primetime or before Monday Night Football were all double-digit wins. I mean, it was a kind of a bad week for competitive games. I really thought the Bills were going to blow the doors off the Titans. And now it leaves me like having reservations about the Bills because that's a playoff team. You went out there and kind of rolled out, I don't want to say a lackluster performance, but they just seemed out of sync at times. I know Derrick Henry can run the football and he's tough to stop, but like we've seen that story before in the playoffs. Like that's not enough to take them to a Super Bowl. So to me, I look at the Bills like you're supposed to be billed as the top team in the AFC, maybe the top team in the NFL, and in some ways you kind of just rolled it out there, almost expecting to kind of beat them. And with all the injuries, by the way, the Titans sustained, Taylor Lewan, thoughts and prayers with him, Caleb Farley, it sounds like he tore his ACL again.
Yeah.
Like with all the injuries they sustained, they still were able to overcome. So give them credit, but this was kind of revealing about the Bills. And one of the reasons why, like, I'll tell you right now, take whatever Kansas City is to win, to go to another Super Bowl, take it right now. As bad as their defense has been, the turnovers, whatever, because you're not going to find better odds at this point in time.
Wow.
You're not.
I mean, now, are we certain? Listen, I've been as critical of Carson Wentz as anybody, but Indianapolis does feel like they found a little something in that division.
Oh, they're going to win the AFC South.
You think Indianapolis is?
Yeah. No.
You think Tennessee is? So you don't think Tennessee. Indianapolis has found enough to pose any sort of a threat the way Jonathan Taylor's
they
running the football?
They haven't shown enough. They haven't
I'd have
shown
to take
enough
a closer
to
look.
Make that.
I'd have to get like a magnifying glass on someone's neck and take a closer look.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, if
they had a good showing this
weekend,
they look pretty good, but that's not enough of a sample size. I mean, nobody's going crazy over them right now.
Well, no one's getting stressed out about it.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, if they did, you would notice it, you know.
I think.
Yeah. He'd have a Volvo on his neck and he'd show up.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.